And I just want to share that God is the divine gardener who has our spiritual growth as his ultimate goal. He wants to see us grow. He doesn't want us to stay immature. He wants us to be full-grown Christians, if you will. He wants us to be able to produce fruit. He wants to shape us. If there's something in our lives that is unhealthy, that prevents us from producing fruit, then he's gonna prune it. He's gonna get rid of it. And sometimes there are things that are good going that are good in our life, but he says, I want to make you better. Not that what you're doing isn't good, but I'm just gonna prune this because I know that I can make you better. Pruning is defined as to trim a tree, a shrub, or bush by cutting away dead or ungrown branches or stems, especially to increase the fruitfulness and growth. Like many aspects of our faith journey, pruning isn't always easy. But it's necessary in order for us to have a healthy life. So, if you would please, open your Bibles to John, the 15th chapter. And I know that we were here 2 weeks ago, and the Holy Spirit intervened, and so we didn't get through that lesson. So today we're going to tackle that, pruning. Pruning. John 15, the first verse reads, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Each branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Already you are clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." Heavenly Father, without a doubt, I know and I believe those who are hearing this word spoken and who are reading this text know that without you, we are nothing. Apart from you, there is no life. And Father, this morning I pray that as we read and study your word, that this morning we would apply it to our lives, that we would be doers of your word. Strengthen me this morning, Father. I'm a bit tired. let me speak with boldness. In your name I pray. Amen. Well, without a doubt, I think that we'd all agree that God has a green thumb. God has a green thumb. Two things that are communicated here in this first verse in chapter 15. First, Jesus makes it clear that he is the vine. He wants you to understand that there's no life apart from him. The nutrients that are needed that climb up the stem of this plant and go through the leaves that give it life. Our Heavenly Father, he's the vine. And we need to realize that. We can't have life. Nutrients can't be supplied unless we are connected with him. So, and second, the one who is responsible for cultivating this growth in our lives is God. Let there be no mistake. God is the one who is growing us. There's no other being who is more qualified to oversee our growth or the process of our growth, right? So, it only stands to reason that the person who created us who formed us would be the ones who grow us, right? I know that some of you have heard this before, but there's a group of scientists. There's a scientist who said to God, we don't need you anymore. We've figured out a way to create life with nothing. In other words, we can now do what you did in the beginning, God. And God was like, okay, humor me. All right, you can. Tell me how you do it. How do you create life out of nothing? And so the scientist says, well, what we do is he got down on his knees and he starts getting the dirt and forming it into a body. He goes, oh, stop right there. God says, go get your own dirt, all right? I created the dirt too. He created everything. God is the divine gardener, and he's an expert at facilitating our growth. These two things are incredibly important to keep in mind as we talk about pruning. It's crucial to remember that who is behind our growth? The divine gardener. Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. There's a gentleness that needs, there's an art of gentleness as far as eliminating and elimination and cultivation. And when we look back to that definition of pruning, to trim a tree or a brush by cutting away the dead or overgrown branches or stems, one of the main jobs of the gardener is to remove the dead, the fruitless or the brokenness from its limbs. Often a plant will be hindered. When a plant is hindered, when there's dead spots and or a limb on it, the plant is trying to fix it. The nutrients is like saying, I want to make you grow. But it's dead. Nothing's happening. All the nutrients are being expended into something that is fruitless. In our lives, we often have similar areas that hinder us. It may be sin that needs to be removed. It may be to discipline our lives. And it even may be something, as I said before, it may be something even good. And excuse my grammar teachers, educators, he wants to make it gooder. The gardener will prune these things that we might have a better opportunity to grow. If an earthly gardener puts all their effort into a crop, just wanting it to grow, not wanting it to stay as a seed, but wanting to see the fruit, do you not think that the ultimate gardener, the divine gardener, wants the same thing in each and every one of our lives? He wants us to grow. He has a vested interest in each and every one of us. When we talk about pruning, less can truly be more. The pruning that God does in our lives is not because he's angry with us. Some people might think that, oh, geez, I messed up. That's why he's doing this to me. And that's just not the case. Actually, it's quite the opposite. You see, in Hebrews, it says there's a race that has been marked out for us that results a heavenly prize. And in order to run the race, we've got to remove the things that will disqualify us or hinder us from finishing well. What do I mean? Okay, so all morning I've been wearing these weights. You know, like when you play basketball or you know you're in sports and you have these ankle weights. And they're good while you're walking around. Now I can't get them off. But by no means are you going to want to wear these things when you're in a race. It's just too much weight. It has a practical purpose, but not when you're running a race. And our Heavenly Father is saying, although there are some things that are good, I don't want you to be hampered with that anymore. I don't want anything to slow you down. I want you to run that race, and I want you to run it well. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since they are surrounded by such a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's not always easy and comfortable process, but in the end, as things are removed, the things that aren't healthy for us, we find more. When we get rid of things that are hindering us, and we fill them with things that will help us, the things that Father has trimmed from us. I talked about Monday being my media-free Monday. I said I'm going to make that commitment during this series for sure. And my device told me today, it let me know that you spent less time on your device. You spent less time with me. And how I know that I spent more time with him. A healthy connection to the vine will produce good fruit. John 15, verses 4 and 5 say, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, that bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. I remember a pastor saying, or I think it was even Brandon, who said, do you know what Christians are? He said, they're baby Christ. that's what we are to be, like Christ. But we can't live like Christ if we're not connected to him. And it's when we're connected to him, and in Galatians 5, 22, 23, it speaks about the products that come out of us when we're connected with him. Products of the spirit, the spirit of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So think about this for a moment. About the fruits that's being spoken here in Galatians. I believe these are areas that most of us desire to grow on. Maybe we're good with kindness. Maybe we're good in faithfulness. Maybe we need to work on patience. Maybe we need to work on self-control. When we remain connected to the divine gardener, He prunes away the unhealthy and the fruitless parts of our lives. This text says, remain in him and he will remain in you. Just remember that. As long as I stay in him, he's going to stay in me, right? Well, let me close. Spiritual growth does not always and cannot happen, doesn't happen by accident. The Christian life is a process that we enter when the seed of the gospel is planted and we open up our lives to God. To grow in faith takes intentional effort, fierce determination, and the unquenchable grace of God. It is true that God loves us. Oh, he loves us the way we are, but He wants to see a change. He doesn't want us to stay the same. Are there some specific areas in your life that could use some pruning to allow healthy growth to take place? Are there things that are disrupting the connectedness that you would want to have with him? Because he wants to be there for you. He wants you to be connected. Yeah? What is interfering? What is interfering? What's the interference? What is between you and him that's not allowing you and him to be complete? Not allowing him to totally abide in you. It's because we're not totally abiding in him. And whatever is in the way, it needs to be eliminated. We need to trust in our Heavenly Father and knowing that he has our best interests at heart. That he's saying, JR, you don't need that. Really, you don't. That's no good for you. Yes, JR, that's good. But I have something better in store. Father, this morning, I know this. It's the desire of each and everyone here to grow close to you. And even more so, how you want to grow closer to us. And the things that would keep us from having the ultimate relationship with you, I pray that we would discard them. And that those things that are unhealthy in our lives, that you'd make it so apparent that we would eliminate those things and not get mad at you when you help us do it. Father, I ask that you be with us this week as we grow in you and you growing us. In your name I pray. Amen.